Okay. Anyway, they have a class of ladies that get together, and she's teaching the Ruth class now, and so they exit out of here. And I kept reminding or telling her I would try and remember to tell them that. So, duly told. 'Tis the season. It's the time for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a glorious time of year that God would send a Savior into this world. Through studying this, there's a series here that we're going through. Last week we talked about the 70 weeks of Daniel and how they could know emphatically that Jesus Christ, when He was going to be born. And we also have prophecy in the Old Testament of where, and we'll get into that next week. But the importance of the virgin birth is so critical to our faith. It is so very critical. Without the virgin birth, we don't have a sinless sacrifice. It's not available to us. I'm going to try real hard not to beat up on other religions today that carry this too far. But you can't hardly mention it without doing so. And the virgin birth is very important. But the virgin conception is important. So you say, well, do we believe the virgin birth or the virgin conception? Because there's also an immaculate conception. Thank you, Phil. You used to be? Oh, you used to believe in that. Speak up. Some people do, yes. There's three trains of thought here. And one is the virgin birth. And we understand and believe that Mary was a virgin and gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was a virgin conception. So if you stay with the virgin birth, the virgin conception is a done deal. And the Scripture tells us that she remained a virgin until after her firstborn. So the virgin birth is important to us in the fact that she never knew a man and gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's critically important, y'all. Critically important. But our Catholic brethren take it just a step further. Their dogma in 1854, one of the popes, and I can't remember which one, I always use Pope Pius because I think that's a great name for one of the popes. He declared that Mary was free from original sin. That once she was birthed, that she didn't have the burden of original sin from the moment of her conception through her life, she was without sin. She was without the original sin. Now, when I was in college, I studied genetics in depth. And I understand that if you take something and put something with it, you get a desired result. And if you take God, and if Mary was immaculate, spotless, sinless, she now is a God. If you take a God and a God and you put them together, all you can get is a God. That won't save us. That won't work. It has to be God and man to get the God-man. Because it had to be one of us for that sacrifice. Is everybody following that? If Mary was sin-free, she puts herself as a God. The Pope in 1854 put her as a God. That's a small G. We serve the big G. And I don't mean anything about that, but capital G-O-D is who we serve. So, their immaculate conception, saying that Mary, being a God, conceived Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, is blasphemy. It doesn't help our cause at all. They uphold Mary. I read some stuff over the course of last week that said that Mary was blessed above all women. That's not what God says. God says she was blessed among women, not above. Not only that, blessed means happy. That's what that means, that she was happy among all women. Now, what their concept is, and you have to stay with their train of thought, is that God searched the universe and found this one woman. And it says that God needed her to give birth to Jesus Christ. Well, if he did a virgin conception, he didn't need her at all. Because our scripture is going to tell us here in a minute that with God, nothing's impossible. You know, we try and start explaining some things and we just go, you know what? I don't know. God just did it. I don't know how to explain it. The Holy Spirit at times draws a veil over what went on, and we don't get the graphic details. We don't get the graphic details of the conception or the crucifixion for that matter. We just know that it happened. So the virgin birth is very important to us, and we have to cling to the fact that Mary was a good woman that God chose to be a vessel. My son asked the question this morning, if God knew and seen down through the years that they was going to take that and go that way, why didn't he say something about it? And I said he did. When we see the first miracle of Jesus Christ, Mary's at a wedding, Jesus and his friends show up, and they're out of wine. Jesus didn't come to turn the water into wine, y'all. He came to seek and save those who are lost. Mary said, hang on, my son's God. Here, we'll just have him fix this. And you know what his reply to her was? Woman, what have I to do with thee? He didn't say, Mom, what are you doing here? Mom, it's not my time yet. He said, Woman, what have I to do with you? And when we come up toward Easter, we learn that when he's on the cross and he's ending his earthly ministry here and fixing to ascend on high, he looks down and sees John the Beloved and his mother there, and he looks to his mother and says, Woman, again, that cutting ties to his earthly mother, Woman, behold thy son. And there stands John the Beloved. And he says, Son, that's your mother. So he's handling his earthly obligations of providing for his elderly mother. But he's done. It's over with. Now, the Catholic Church in, I believe, 1050 decided that Mary ascended bodily into heaven. This is their dogma now. Ascended bodily into heaven and took her earthly place in heaven. What's that? The Mother of God. Well, I'm telling you, God doesn't have a mother. We understand the triune of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't need mankind tinkering in what he's got going on. Don't get me riled. Let's get into the lesson. After we pray, Lord, I do thank you for, Lord, the virgin birth, Lord, and how important it is and how crucial it is, Lord, to our faith. Lord, for without that, we have no hope. Lord, we understand that Jesus Christ was the only sinless one. Lord, your word tells us that, and that there was no other that was sinless, much less Mary through her own self-proclamation that she was in need of a Savior. Lord, and I just pray that you'd teach this lesson. Lord, help us to, Lord, just take it and take it through this time of year. Lord, that we would stand on it, we proclaim, Lord, the great hope that came into this world in the dark hours that it is. Lord, that we hang our everything that we have on this hope. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, bless each one that hears your word today. In Christ's name, amen. Matthew chapter 1 and 18 through 25 gives us the virgin conception and birth. Luke does the same thing. They give a parallel of it, of different aspects of it. Matthew chapter 1, we'll turn over there right quick and see a bit of that. 1 and 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. We could stay here through Christmas. That's the Christmas story, y'all, right there. It says that Jesus Christ, his birth was on this wise. that his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. That espoused is a contract. It's as binding as a marriage contract. They were put together as young people and betrothed to be married one day, and that was a binding contract that she couldn't get out of. She finds out that she's pregnant. The law in Deuteronomy says that if she got pregnant out of wedlock, she was to be stoned to death. That's just the law. Understand, before this time, they were under the law. Mary was in a great deal of trouble, probably very scared for her physical being. Says that she was espoused to Joseph before they came together and was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That word virgin in the Greek is pathenos. It means nothing else. It means virgin. That's it. Can't be translated, can't be misconstrued. It means a virgin. You can't be sort of pregnant. Okay? It's a cut and dry deal. A virgin shall bring forth a son. You want a sign? There's a sign. That's a pretty good one. May be hard to swallow. Yeah? I mean, for us, come on, it may be hard to swallow. But look what it says there in verse 23, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. We talked last week about understanding that Jesus Christ's return is near. We understand that because we study the Word of God, and we see that at some point, pretty soon, He's going to return. Because we understand where we're at in God's history. By the way, everybody understand what history is, right? Everybody understand? It's a compound word, two words put together. His story, that's what history is. I was taught in school that there's prehistoric things. That's a lie. There's nothing prehistoric. There's nothing prehistory. There's nothing pre-His story. By the way, universe, one verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The scientists use that and think, well, there's the universe. Well, that's the verse, the one verse. Tells it all, that God created everything. That was free. Back on the deal. It was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Mary was a very devout Jew. She had to been, y'all. God chose her to be the vessel for His Son. She understood of the prophecies. In her heart, in her mind, she probably went, wow, I'm the virgin. But there were some things facing her right up front that was going to be a task for her to do. And that was to convince those unbelievers that she was the one. That there's a job for you. So the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says, it's okay. She's the one. She's the virgin spoke about by the prophet. So Joseph was okay with it. And he said, hey, I understand that this is prophecy. He put her away privily, probably for her own well-being. Again, they're under the law, y'all. The law was cut and dry. Ma'am, are you pregnant? I think so. Well, guess what happens to you? You're stoned. That's it. Because there was no grace. Look in Luke chapter 1. As Brother Crawford mentioned last night, for about 21 years now, 22 years now, on Christmas Eve, my wife and kids sit down and I read Luke chapter 2. My kids quote it now. Praise God. You know? But I read the Christmas story to him, to them. We've done that. That's more of a tradition than giving presents at our house. But we see in chapter 1 the coming up to that point. And I think there's some important things in this part of it. Look in verse 30, chapter 1 and verse 30. Now, starting 26. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. That word favored there is very important. In the Greek, it's usually translated as grace. Mary found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's the first time that grace is mentioned in the New Testament. The first time grace is mentioned in the Old Testament is when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Both of these human characters were the ones who brought in a new world. Noah brought in a new world that we've never seen the other side of the flood. I'm sure it was startling to him to see that world that was created perfect when God said, it is very good. And then him to see this side of the flood with the volcanoes and the earthquakes and all the natural catastrophes that we experience today wasn't the earth that God created. That's why in the book of Revelation, we see the seven seals unveiled. That's going to purify this earth back to the way it was when God originally made it. But here, we see grace through Noah and through Mary. And grace is exactly what the word is defined. In both cases, the human believer was selected by God's grace to bring new beginning into the world. You realize the greatest event that's ever taken place in history is the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, God sent a Savior into this world. And because of that, He partook of the death of the cross to save us from our sins. But grace is not a reward earned. It's a gift. That's what we have today is grace. I'll tell you, every week, I don't want a fair trial. I know what the outcome's going to be. I don't want a fair trial. I want grace. I want a pardon. Because I'm guilty. As charged. I want grace, and that's where we're at now. Grace is now introduced into this world by who? By God. For God so loved the world. Verse 29, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And look, in verse 31 and 32, there are several shalls and shouts. The first three are what took place then. The latter three is what's going to take place. Look as we read there. I underlined them in my Bible. And the angel said, And behold, now remember, he's speaking for God. God sent him down here and said, You go tell him this. He said, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Mary didn't have a choice. When God says thou shalt, That's law. And bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That hasn't taken place yet, y'all. He never got close to the throne. His whole time here, the only time he got close was when he went before Pilate. That's it. That's why the resurrection is so important. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they said that can't be the Messiah because he didn't sit on the throne. But we understand and believe the resurrection because one day, as the Scriptures tell us, he'll sit on the throne of David. That's why the resurrection is so heartfelt to us. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That word holy thing is not in the original. It could be the Holy One. But that holy thing, there's not a word in any language that represented that embryo in that womb. There's not a word for it. It was just that holy thing that was inside of her. So, Mary, I'm sure in her heart, had questions. But it was answered probably almost simultaneously because she knew the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7 and verse 14 where he says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Again, it was probably hard for her to say, wow, it's me. Down through the ages, through centuries, this was foretold, and now it's happening. I'm sure pretty startling. Let's forget that there was an angel there talking to her. You know, she finds out, hey, I'm pregnant and I've never been with a man. And then she begins to ponder in her mind, wait a minute, it must be time. It must be that here, I'm sure it was overwhelming to her. I feel like it was very overwhelming to her that this holy thing was placed into her. Look, if you will, in Psalms 139. This is a psalm of David. He's pouring out his heart to God, and he's telling God that he understands who and what God is, and he understands how God cared for him and took care of him, and how far back God has done that for him. But look at what he says here. He says in verse 1, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my living down, or my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, that thou knowest it altogether. That'll kind of shake you at your core. God knows our thoughts. Before we ever say them, he knows who we are. David is expounding on that. Verse 5, he says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. How's that feel? That make it better, Brother Watson? Amen. Doesn't that, thy right hand shall hold me. You know, if someone's holding hands with you, there really can't be anybody in between y'all. Y'all got to be pretty close together. Here David says, when I'm where I don't know where I'm at, Jesus Christ is holding me. He says, thy right hand hold me. Verse 14, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. He's talking about Jesus Christ here. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Pay close attention right here. Folks, abortion's wrong. In any facet, it's wrong. We haven't stood up for that, and we just kill human beings all the time. One day we're going to answer for that. Verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That word there, or that group of words that says substance yet being imperfect, where he says in verse 16, he says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. He's talking about that embryo state, that group of words there that says substance yet being unperfect. In the Hebrew, it's one word. It means embryo. Says, when I was in my mother's womb in an embryo form, you fashioned me. David's sitting there saying, I can't fathom that. I don't understand birth myself. And I've had quite a bit of study on it. It's fascinating how it works. And David's still in here. He says, I just can't wrap my mind around it. And he was just spilling out his heart to God. And we look back in Luke chapter 1 where Mary's going through this and that embryo is placed in her. That holy thing that shall be called chapter 1 of Luke says, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That verse is there for all of us, y'all. It doesn't just pertain to an older barren woman who was called barren, that she could have a child, or that one time in the history of mankind, a virgin conceived. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. We could all go through the crowd and give testimony after testimony of what God did that mankind said, that can't happen. That's impossible. But that verse is in there for us, that for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary presented herself, she presented her body, a living, holy sacrifice. She said, her word said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She said, whatever God wants of me, let it happen. God won't ever put you through nothing that He can't protect you or see you through. It just won't happen. I've experienced it in my life. I know several of us have, where you say, boy, this just doesn't look like this is going to be a good outcome at all. And God used it for good. It just happens in our everyday lives if we have that faith. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Y'all need to understand that Zacharias was a priest. He was of the lineage of Levi. There were a group of them in groups of eight. I think they went down to groups of six. But at certain times of the year, they performed the holy duties of the priest. Zacharias was an elderly priest. It was his turn to go in and perform the priestly duties. He goes in, him and two other guys, and one takes out the old ashes and another one brings the coals in and puts on the altar, and they leave out. And he, as the high priest, is there to perform the duties, which would take him a few seconds. He goes in, the angel of the Lord appears to him while he's performing the incense, throwing the frankincense on the coals. And everybody's waiting outside to see him come out. And he doesn't come out because he's talking to Gabriel about his son. And he doesn't believe. So Gabriel says, you want a sign? You're not going to be able to speak. Well, the people outside are getting a little worried because he hasn't come out. When he finally comes out, he can't speak. His duties are done. He goes home. Understandably, he takes out a writing tablet and says, you know, look, here's what happened to me. And you're going to conceive and we're going to have a son. And he's going to be that one that Malachi, the prophet from 400 years back, talked about. It's us. God's heard our prayer. And we're going to have a son. They were childless. But he's a priest. The priests were to uphold the law. Mary goes to him to say, hey, I'm pregnant. If she had something to hide, she would have never went to the high priest. She went and said, hey, here's the situation I'm in. But understand, God had already sent a messenger to Joseph. He was good with it. Sent one to Mary. She was good with it. Sent one to Zacharias. He was elated because he's going to have a son. So here, Mary goes. She goes to his house. And she salutes Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, this is so awesome, y'all. The babe, that's John the Baptist, in her womb, leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. That 6-month-old baby in her womb leapt for joy that the Savior had come into this world. Man, what are we doing? Here's an embryo inside of a woman leapt. Elizabeth felt John jump in there. The description says the babe leapt in her womb. Verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of the Lord, of my Lord, shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now here's Mary. Mary begins to burst out in song. And she says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. If you don't have any sin, you don't have any need for salvation or a Savior. By Mary's own volition, she said, I am a guilty sinner and I need salvation. I need a Savior. And they hang their doctrine on that, are not using that. Mary herself said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. You know, bless Mary. Bless Mary that God used her. But he used her for a period of time. And that was done. Anything that takes away from the deity or the work of Jesus Christ is blasphemy. It is everything and only the things that Jesus Christ did for us. And nothing else. No other human. My Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't have an exclusion in there. It doesn't have a footnote in my Bible that says, oh, except for Mary. No, it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was one perfect human being on this earth, and that was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's never been another, and there's no need for another. My salvation is sealed and in my Father's hand forever and ever. Next week, we'll do the birthplace of Jesus Christ, what was foretold in the Old Testament, some things, interesting things about maybe where, and things that we've grew up understanding or knowing based on one passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for, Lord, this time of year. Thank you for, Lord, sending your Son, Lord, as you did through the virgin as foretold, Lord, whomever that virgin was that you would pick, Lord, and not specific to Mary herself, but that you found favor in her. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Him alone. Lord, thank you again for all you've done for us. In Christ's name, amen.